February 15th, 1990. International Student Day, Korean students.
Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." I guess we need a little bit of an explanation here. I'm sure you all expect something different in the worship service like this. Now we are all going to sing the first stanza of this hymn in English. Then the second and third will be sung in Korean, if you would. Here we can taste a little bit of what the speaking in tongue is all about, all right? And at least you have choices. For the first stanza, if you are not interested in the Pentecostal movement, you can go ahead and sing in English. We have prepared the transliteration of the hymn on the bulletin just for all of you international students here in chapel. So you can sing either in Korean or in English. Let us all stand as we sing this hymn. Hymn number is 385. Maybe sit it. Let us join our hearts in prayer. Dear God, whose purpose is our peace, now as we wait before you, address our deep needs for forgiveness, for reconciliation, for guidance, for strength, for comfort and hope. Enable us to hear, listen not to the sound of our own voices, but rather for that quiet voice by which you call us. Thank you that you are available today. Thank you for providing us hope, forgiveness, and grace. And we thank you for your love drawing us today. Lift us up by your Spirit so that we may meet life with the serenity of a spirit and strength of purpose, which in itself will speak clearly of your presence. Lord, we believe this same Jesus who was born of a virgin is coming back. We believe this same Jesus who stilled the raging storm is coming back. We believe this same Jesus who fed 5,000 is coming back. We believe this same Jesus who was nailed to the cross is coming back. We believe this same Jesus who conquered the grave is coming back. These are all things we pray for in your precious name, Jesus Christ our King. Amen.
Oh,
When the messengers of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. When did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments. Indeed, those who are gorgeously appareled and live in luxury are in king's courts. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. May you be blessed by hearing the word of God.
Thank you. It is my and our honor to have privilege to introduce our Korean Christianity. Many of my American friends have asked me about the reason for the Korean church's recent revival. I've been thinking about this for a long time and have sometimes asked these questions of my Korean friend. Some say this is because of the superstitious religious background throughout Korean history. Some answer this is because of racial characteristic or tendency toward gathering together. Still others say it is due to their long prayers. All the above answers have some value, but none of these can be the exact answer. It is true that Korean Christians like to gather together, but I think that the other Christians in the world do so too. It is correct that my country has a long superstitious religious background. However, it may also be true that other countries have their own superstitious religious background. The reason for the Korean church's recent revival, I would say, comes from rich heritage and the shed blood of Korean Christian forefathers. In the late 19th century, the king ordered to kill Christians on the spot where they were found. Many Korean Christians in the times of foreign countries' invasion and tyranny in the early 20th century refused to worship their God and sacrifice their lives. Many Christians refused to compromise with the communists in the days of Korean War. Without their sacrifices, the Korean church's revival couldn't have happened. This morning, from our scripture, in Luke chapter 7, verse 24 to 26, I'd like to examine the Christians of today and look at whether we are real disciples of Jesus Christ or not. As the scripture says, I want to ask you, what did you go out to see? To be his disciples? Or just to be lookers on like the crowd before Jesus Christ? First of all, to be his true heritage and disciple, we have to get rid of all the idols. They may be visible or invisible idols. As the age of scientism and materialism came into human life, these concepts became to be human's idol. They can and really do human-like comfortable and convenient. But they cannot precede God and satisfy human desire. They cannot work instead of God. I'm not arguing whether scientific things or material things came from God or not. The problem I want to discuss is our attitude toward them. Even though we should present our need to God first, we too often depend on to the materials which God has made. We are making these as our idols. The first thing in being his heritage and disciple is abandon our idols and turn our heart to God. What did you go out to see? Idol? This should never be. Secondly, we should adapt our belief according to the truth in God's law. Sometimes we make mistakes in adapting God's law to our own ways. Many people say the times are changing and the circumstances are altered when compared to the past, so that our pattern of belief should be changed according to the new generation. But this should not be the case. God, we believe, never changes himself, and the truth in the Bible never changes itself. My argument is not for the form or mode of worshiping God. The truth was set us free, as states in John chapter 8, verse 31-32. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But how often Christians try to change the truth itself? Jesus was very angry to see the people who were selling and abusing the intent of the selling of the sacrificial animals in the temple and drove them out of the temple area. But many Christians and clergy are gathering money in the name of revival, the gospel, and are making churches banks. Most TV evangelists collect money in the name of evangelism by selling Jesus. Aren't we crucifying Jesus again and again? I have heard many churches change their worship service schedule because of famous bowl game. Don't we also change the house of God and prayer into social club? It must not happen before God. We have to think, what are we doing and seeing? We cannot change God's law according to our own convenience. If we want to be his true heritage and disciple, we have to follow God's law. Thirdly, we have to be ready to sacrifice ourselves. If that is God's will for our descendants, like our forefather did for us. Our forefathers, the true heritage, didn't care about their persecutions and death if those were the part of the way of following Jesus Christ. They knew how to love Jesus, and they were deeply concerned for the future generations. We have to remind ourselves of Jesus and why he had to be crucified, being torn and bleeding on the cross at Calvary. Jesus loved those who betrayed him. They sought blood and flesh like a hungry wolf. Jesus gave his blood and flesh as they wanted. The power of Jesus' sacrifice made the Christianity continue from that day to this day, and is making sinners repent today. Too many martyrs shed their blood as the people wanted. Some bled for the truth, some for freedom in Christ, some for mission work, but all of them did so for the name of Jesus Christ. Our forefathers sacrificed themselves like Jesus did and are his true heritage. Throughout church history, we have seen many who are the true heritage of Jesus Christ. I gave my opinion of the reason for the Korean church's recent revival. I cannot count how many martyrs were sacrificed after the spread of gospel to the land of Korea. They did not worship idols before swords and guns. They did not worship idols. They chose to die like your forefather did. They didn't compromise and deal with evil matters and political powers. They just followed the law of God. They didn't try to adapt the truth for their own convenience. I'm not boasting of Korean church's revival, because all they did was same as what your forefathers did in being martyrs for Jesus Christ. One famous Korean pastor, Ki Chul Ju, died, for he refused to worship a foreign god in the time of foreign countries' tyranny in 1944. A foreign police tortured him in indescribable ways, such as pouring hot peppers into his nose while hanging his body upside down. But he would not change his mind, because Jesus didn't, Peter didn't, Paul didn't. He finally died because of these indescribable tortures. His son had the same fate before the communists, 7 years after his father died. They shot him on the spot where he refused to compromise. There are many martyrs like this in Korean Christian history. How many church members we have in our church is not important. How many true disciples we have in our church is the most important thing. I have heard that many scholars and Christians are really concerned about our future. So some argue a new reformation is needed. But I dare to say, if we are really concerned about our future, if we are really love Jesus, if we really love our new generations, we have to be Jesus' true heritage and disciples. Once William Barclay says, sacrifice has meant the giving of one's best to God. And what is one's best but oneself? Sacrifice is the true expression of love. The love without sacrifice is the Pharisaic love. This evil generation asks for us our blood. As Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 24, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it produces many seeds. Jesus is asking us, but if it dies, it produces many seeds. Jesus is asking us the same questions that he asked 2,000 years ago. What did you go out to see? And asking you, what did you come to this seminary to see? God bless you.
Would you stand? Our Heavenly Father, we express our gratitude for this day. We are grateful for holding us dear and near. We offer our prayer of petition, petitioning you for your strength to face the days ahead, for your love to reach out beyond ourselves, for your peace to work for justice and peace in our world. We are so grateful for an institution such as this, to which we come to study, to learn, and to grow. Lord, bless all the ministries of our faculties and trustees, through which you are glorified. We praise your name because you are God, who delivered Israel from the bondage of Egypt. We close with our prayers of thanksgiving, O God, that you are God, the Creator, who still sustains it, that your promises are sure, that we are called the children of God, and so we are. These all things we pray in the name of our Lord, even Savior. Amen.